Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ball out to deep left. Did he get enough? Gone! Goalie takes one deep.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
And Paul Goldschmidt, 25-1 to win the NL MVP, Bally Sports Midwest, with the call of the home run there. Ken Barkley, Nick Ashew, You Better You Bet. Paul Goldschmidt. Now, where does he fit in your rankings? Does the formula tell us that Goldschmidt has a chance and he's worth that play at 25-1?
I don't think so anymore. Like, we were talking about him, there were like 60s out there, I think, on him. Yeah. And I was like, well, at that number, could he end up? And this was like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, Betts hadn't continued to do what he's done. Mookie Betts, obviously. Freeman has played better too. So I think at 25, I'm good. We'll start with that one. We'll try to hit as many as, you know, take it in the next hour. So
why not?
Yeah. We got plenty of time. It's Memorial Day Friday. Let's bet some
baseball. It is. We're just doing what the hell we want today. Why not?
I told a story about Lamar Jackson against Auburn the year before he won the Heisman Trophy. That's how we're deeping today. So NL MVP we can do first because it's the easiest to handicap. My opinion, it's the easiest to handicap. If you don't have any of Manny Machado or Mookie Betts, if you're reading this, it's too late. Like, it's just, these are by far the two most likely players to win the award as of right now. They are priced like that. Now you could argue, actually, let me get the Bet Rivers price here real quick. If I scroll up. So Betts is 7, Machado's 2-1, a worthy favorite, leading in all important categories, leading by a lot in some important categories, war projection for the rest of the year. He finishes basically tied for first with Betts, even using like the publicly available projection systems and like fan graphs and stuff. So like, makes perfect sense. Should be the favorite. Super low price. Done. Shouldn't bet it. Worthy. Like, absolutely correct. The next question, which is the one that we were also asking on Tuesday, I think was the last time we did this one. We did that Power Hour segment with all of the awards in it. The question I was asking at that point, well, not question I was asking, I was saying, the one guy who I'd be the most worried about, or who is the most likely price to drop to be the second choice, is Mookie Betts, who at the time was 15, and now in some places he's 5. I think the discussion should probably be framed in this market as, at what point should Betts and Machado actually be priced the same? And are we there already? You could make a pretty compelling case that we should be there really soon. So from an offensive standpoint, war, offensive runs above replacement, Machado is winning, but the lead is tenuous and Betts is behind him in everything. And I mean behind him like second or third, not like 10th or whatever. And if you go by war projection for the rest of the season, Betts is actually projected to have a higher war right now than Manny Machado as of this moment by a very small amount. I just average all of the fan graphs ones together to get like a good template. Betts averages out to about an 8 war player this year at the end of the year, and Manny Machado 7.8. So to give you an idea of like, hey, Mookie Betts' price has been dropping. Why is that the case? Well, it's because like statistically up to this point, Betts has almost caught Machado, and for the rest of the year, he is supposed to surpass Machado slightly. So like, they really become neck and neck to win the award. It's of all the awards markets, it's actually the one that like makes the most sense from a pricing standpoint. Like, the favorite should definitely be the favorite, and he should be favored by a good, like, he should have a low price. And now the second guy should be the second guy. That's like, this is the only market where that's probably true, and we should all agree on that. Like, no one should disagree with that, basically. I think all of us can disagree about all the other markets, like who should be favored, who should be second. This is the one where it's like, nah, like, this is good. Like, Machado should be the favorite. So if like right now you have no bets in the market, what do I do? If you have nothing right now, I would actually even consider adding Betts at 7. If you have nothing, just because I think what is happening in the next 2 weeks, what is likely to happen in this market. Arenado's price, I think, is likely to continue going up, as in he becomes less likely to win the award. Mm-hmm. And I think it's possible, like, Harper's in such a weird spot where he's like not playing the outfield sometimes and everything. I think like his price could potentially go up. Like, I think all of this goes to Betts, and he emerges as like the one challenger to Machado, at least as we head into June. This can subject to change, but like if we're just looking at the short term, like 2 to 4 weeks, what's going to happen? Betts has made this huge push offensively. He and Freeman are both playing very well, and we've seen his price drop. I think it has a little bit more room to go. All of the kind of big action in this market, this one specifically, is has happened already. So basically, Machado became the favorite. Now he became a bigger favorite. Then Betts dropped to second choice to kind of maybe catch him. Like, that's, I don't think there's a big move lurking here, basically. But if you want to bet, like, you just want to bet this market and you have no dollars in it, I think Betts 7, I think he could easily be like 4. And Machado's price goes up a little bit and they kind of become neck and neck. I think that's where I see this going.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And Machado's kind of been seen that way as a while anyway. I mean, this was, you know, going into this year, even a lot of people looked at him even before the odds came. I mean, this is so really none of it is a surprise right there at that point.
It's, oh, these are all big names. Like, these are not, none of these are like surprise. I mean, it's Machado, Betts, Harper, Arenado, Soto, Freeman, and Acuna. Like, I mean, it's just, you could have, you're just ordering them differently. And Machado would have been further down the list at the start of the year. Like, Soto was obviously the favorite coming into the year, but just a rearranging of prices, which, and all of it makes
I never
sense.
Like, Soto, I mean, as somebody that sees the Nats and sees Soto up close, like, I understand the hype around him and I understand the talent, but the reality of it is the
he's
team.
He's awesome.
Is, now I get in baseball, you don't have to make the playoffs to win MVP. I mean, that's been Mike Trout's career, essentially, is that, you know, it's baseball is probably the most individualistic team sport that we have. But, you know, at the same time, there's just other players like a Mookie Betts, like a Manny Machado that are also on teams that have World Series aspirations. And that was a couple of years ago with the Nats when Soto would have made more sense being in that situation. But he just kind of, that was when his star started to rise, was that 2019 run to win the World Series. So I've always felt like Juan Soto has been more in the mix here because of his name and because of the hype around like what his potential could be as opposed to what we've actually seen consistently from him.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, like, and you're right, like, projecting him into this year, one of the favorites to win Most Valuable Player, like, his war projections are still outrageous from now until the end of the season. Like, he could be awesome. I always just think with him, because of the team that he plays on, like, he has to so outperform these other players, I feel like, to win. And going into the year, that was possible. Like, there was a real chance going into the year that his offensive season was going to be so much better than everyone else's that he could win. Because he might have been the best player in the league. And it might have been the best player by a lot, really. And because Machado is just, I mean, played so much better than even that we were projecting. And Betts has played kind of like at his, like the top of his
range.
What you would expect. It's just, it's basically like creating a situation where, like, in order for Soto has to be like Barry Bonds the rest of the year in order to actually like pass these two guys. Like, if he's just as good, which right now he is not projected to be as good, he's projected to be far behind from a war standpoint. Yep. If he's just as good, I still don't think it actually gets it done, which is why he's the price that you've seen rise the most, that he's kind of dropped out of that favorite spot, dropped out of the second choice spot. Like, I mean, I think you're going to see that not altogether dissimilar from what's happening with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where it's like, okay, maybe we got this one a little off and he can still be awesome and he can still hit great the rest of the year. But like, as you start to get to 50 games and 60 games, like as you start to kind of get really close to that halfway mark over the next month here, you know, if he's not vastly outperforming Betts and Machado, like it's over, like for him. That's maybe not over for somebody else, but it might be over for him.
Yeah, Vlad Jr. sitting 11-1 right now to win the AL MVP. Otani plus 250, Mike Trout 3-1, Aaron Judge plus 350 there. Hey, that's the Angels, man. You got Otani and Mike Trout. You have the two, you have the top two MVP favorites on that roster. That, and look, the expectations are certainly much higher for this Angels team now, but it's been like, that's always what's bothered me about this award. And like, I get it. I know that it's different than the NBA. It's different than the NFL. Because you know, in the NFL, you're mostly going to have quarterbacks win. In the NBA, it goes to the next
and the
man
best
up.
Team. Like we've, and quarterback is the best team, too.
Yes. Yeah. And in the NBA, you usually have to be at least, if your team hasn't overachieved, like Jokic won it again because he carried the Nuggets pretty much by himself this year with all the injuries they've had. But a lot of times, it's obviously a team that's one of the best teams in the NBA as well. Baseball, you don't even have to make the playoffs to win MVP. You just don't. To a point, you don't need to factor much of that into the weight that you would put on who's going to win the actual award.
Yeah, you don't want to be awful, but like you can be right. You can be 500, and what we see it all.
Which
the time
is why I look at Juan Soto and just say, I think those his price is going to get lower and lower as time goes on. Like, it's
and the two examples, the two examples that support Soto before the season started was you were like, well, Stanton with the Marlins, where every night he was hitting a 900-foot home run into like somebody's living room, and that video like drove him to win the award, basically. And then A-Rod Texas is the one that everybody always brings up.
Yes.
Where his statistics were just so outstanding versus everybody else. It was like, well, we have to give him this award. Like, it doesn't matter. We have to give him this award, even though I think the team won like 60 games, basically, that season.
Yeah.
So with now NL market, I'm basically telling you, like, this makes a lot of sense. Maybe Betts price drops more. That's about it. And I don't even know if anybody else is, like, in play to win realistically after those two players. Now, you could have an injury, which would upset that, or multiple injuries, which would upset it. But that's the lay of the land right
Can't
now.
Can't factor market. That in anything, though.
This that's market, this AL market is so interesting because Otani's in it, which makes it interesting right off the bat. Like, when someone pitches and hits, do they have to outperform everyone to win the award, or do they just have to be close? Like, what if Trout, I feel like we're going to get to the end of the year. Trout's going to have a higher war, which is incredibly predictive of who wins normally. And Trout might have the number one war in the league. It's going to be him or Aaron Judge, probably, maybe Jose Ramirez. And Otani's not going to have that, but Otani has this like trick up his sleeve, basically. And it's sort of like, I guess the proper way to put it, right? Where it's like, well, should he just win if he does both things? Should he just win? And like, if he does them both at a certain level, baseline level or above, like he's above average at hitting, he's above average at pitching, he's not the best hitter in the league. He's not even close to the best hitter in the league so far this year. He's not even in the top 30 probably this year. Now, some of that's bad luck with some of the hard hit balls that he's had, but like, he is not even close to like a top hitter in the league this year. And he's also not the top pitcher in the league this year. So like, but if you're like 12th at both, maybe you statistically other guys look better, like who have entirely offensive or players who play the field, but like, does he just win? That's what I don't know the answer to. Like, how close does Otani have to be to Trout, Judge, realistically, those two, maybe Jose Ramirez. There's a couple other guys that are interesting, which we can talk about next segment. Like, how close does Otani have to be to them where even if he has less statistically than them, he just wins because he's him. Because he does something that no one else can do.
It's just
like, that's
so
what I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, and it's just so unique. It's not like he's a 20 game winner as a pitcher, and that like that's not going to get factored in. But just go out and have a decent ERA, be a good pitcher, and then also good at the plate. Like, he doesn't have to be the best at both of those. He just has to be able to do it consistently. And
but how good
well.
Does he have to
and
be? That, does he have to be
right?
Top 10
and that's,
at both? Does he have to be top 20 at both? Like, that's
I mean, I would hope top 20, probably top 10. That's what you hope, but. There is also when you talk about narratives, everybody's mesmerized with what he's able to do, and rightfully so.
Sure.
I mean, it's as unique as you could possibly be in baseball. But the question there is, how does he have to play, and how consistent does he have to be at that spot? I don't know if we really have an answer to that yet.
Yeah, the wins above replacement that he is projected to accumulate this year, even hitting and pitching combined, would put him by far, by a large margin, fourth in the American League this year. Total war, all like pitching, hitting together. So like, just gives you an idea, like he's not blowing away everybody. Where does he have to be to win? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. You want to do Cy Young's next? I know you want to get into Cy Young as well. So
yeah.
Cy Young got to come up next. You better you bet on BetQL.